Have you ever been snubbed, criticized, gossiped about? Maybe you've been insulted or had your family insulted by someone you counted as a friend, someone you trusted. Have you ever had your property damaged or something borrowed and not returned by a friend, like tools? I don't think there's anyone among us who hasn't ever not been offended. And likewise, I don't think there's anybody here that hasn't ever managed to cause an offense in their life. The Bible has a lot to say about offense, both causing it and how to deal with it once caused. When discussing offenses from a biblical standpoint, one of the more well-known scriptures on the subject is found in Matthew chapter 18. And Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Now, I mean, not all of us are going to say, oh, I know exactly what he's talking about. And that's okay. So let's go over there and take a look at it. Let's turn over to chapter Matthew 18. The section is titled, Dealing with a Sinning Brother. And you can read into that, say, sin, offense, you know, upsetting. You know, really, it's an issue with a relationship. So Matthew 18 and verse 15 reads, Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Now, there's more to this section because it goes on to deal with and talk about how, you know, to resolve it if the person you go to is not receiving, is not welcoming to listen to you. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to focus on here is the last part of verse 15, where it says, if he hears you, you have gained your brother. The implication here is that there is a conversation, that the offending party will apologize, and the offended party forgives. But is that all it takes to gain your brother, as the scripture puts it? There's more actually here that's implied than just forgiveness. To gain is to add something that wasn't there before. That's what gain is. There's something now there that wasn't there before. And what's missing is reconciliation. Because while forgiveness sets the stage it's being set for is the reconciliation. It's the restoration of that relationship that is the gain. And this is what we need to be putting into our practice. Not just forgiveness, but also reconciliation. Forgiveness and reconciliation. We know it's our Christian duty, it is our Christian duty to forgive. Jesus clearly warns that our Father will not forgive our sins if we don't forgive those who sin against us, who cause offenses. We can read about that in Matthew 16. It's just a couple pages back, but if you turn back to Matthew 16, starting in verse 14, that's not right. Nope, that's not the right scripture. I wrote the scripture down wrong, but I have the scripture written in my notes. We're probably familiar with it, so I'm just going to say it, and we're going to roll with it. It reads, whichever scripture it is that it's supposed to be, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now I'm going to challenge who's to be the first person to come after services and tell me what the right scripture is. Matthew 6, thank you. I'll give you a cookie afterwards. Matthew 6 and verse 14. There we go, that's it. All right, it reads, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's not that we earn God's forgiveness by forgiving, but those whom God forgives are expected in turn to forgive others. Be honest, forgiveness isn't easy. Sometimes it may require a lifetime of forgiving. But it's important to our Christian growth. Our very human nature will want us to continue to hold grudges in our hearts against those who offend us. However, we must be continuing to forgive until the matter is settled within our hearts. But then what happens? What happens then? Do both parties just go their separate ways, knowing they've resolved the issue and they have no need to speak to each other or interact with each other? That's not how it works. If, when we cause offense, sin, whatever it is, primarily sin, but when we sin, we go to our Father in prayer. We seek repentance. We seek forgiveness. And we have faith that when we do so, he'll forgive us. But is that all God wants from us? Without question, he does want to forgive us, but he wants to forgive us because he wants then to have a relationship with us. Our Father wants reconciliation. He doesn't want something like, I forgive you of your sins, and now I acknowledge that we are in a state where we're not offended. Go your way. That's not what he wants. He wants that relationship. He wants the restoration, the add, the gain of that relationship with us. I have small children. A lot of people I know also have small children. We were all small children at one point in our lives, no matter how far back that was. But when small children do something wrong and they're caught, which they often are because they're children, they really don't think things through, they don't just say, please forgive me, and then go off and do something else. Not usually. What do they do? Well, in my suitcase, a lot of times with my children, usually they're really upset. They're just stressed. You know, yes, they've been caught, but once you point out what they did was wrong, they're really upset because they know that they've offended. They've caused an offense. And because they don't want that rift in that relationship with me, with their parents. So what do? They hug you. They want to know that it's okay. They seek that reconciliation with the parent to know that that relationship is still there, and they want it to make sure that it's been restored to what it was before they got caught doing something wrong. That's what our Father wants with us. He wants that relationship restored, and he wants that reconciliation. It may not happen in an instant. Sometimes it may take a little bit longer than we might want. But more than anything, it requires willingness on both sides to want it, to be open to it, and to work towards it. Consider this, last part of this scripture that I quoted. Who is our brother in this context? Is this just about your immediate family? Is this limited to our spiritual brothers and sisters? And anyone outside this room, they don't matter. No. Is it only about people that we like? No, I don't like that person. I don't need to reconcile with them. No. Cognitively, we know this means everyone and anyone. Jesus Christ didn't just die for his disciples. He didn't just die for those who were alive during his ministry. He died for all of us so that we can see that forgiveness from the Father and then be able to reconcile with him and have that relationship with him. That means we can't play favorites. We cannot dismiss any opportunity we have to forgive and seek that reconciliation. We need to seize those opportunities to build or rebuild those relationships so that we can gain our brother or our sister. And this is not an easy thing to do. I'm going to be honest. If it were easy, I probably wouldn't be up here talking about it. We wouldn't have so many scriptures devoted to it. And the fact is, it is hard and it is a challenge. Our human nature fights against it, which is why we really need to put our effort into overcoming this and making it part of our Christian life. This is part of our calling, and it's part of our journey. Now, today's society is not interested in forgiveness. There's no discussion about reconciliation in this world. If it does come up, it's hollow, it's shallow, it's a veneer for something usually more selfish. We have military conflicts going on in this world because there's no room for forgiveness or reconciliation. And in some places, maybe they've stopped shooting at each other. But is there any desire for forgiveness afterwards? No. Is there any thought for reconciliation? Okay, maybe not armed conflict, but in politics, and not just American politics, Britain's in its sixth prime minister in 7 years. It's all over the place. There's stark divisions. There's a divisiveness that makes no room for this. And that's how Satan wants it. He wants to shatter any opportunity that might present itself for forgiveness and reconciliation. He wants to prevent it between countries. He wants to prevent it within countries. He wants to prevent it between peoples and groups, and he most definitely wants to stop it between members of the body of Christ. And he wants to see us divided. He wants to see us divided using offenses that just don't get forgiven. He wants to prevent the creation of godly relationships. He wants to see us all lose. And if that's a terrifying thought, good, because it should be. There is hope. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have access to the Father. We can pray for the right heart to seek forgiveness. We can pursue that reconciliation with each other so that we can restore those relationships. It's not easy, and it takes effort. But this is something that is made available to us, and we can do it. Here's something that can help us remember. Forgiveness is kind of like two sides of the same coin. This is a coin. I've got everybody's attention. This is a U.S. dollar. This is one of the old U.S. dollar coins. They don't make these anymore. I like this coin because it's big and it's easy to see on camera. So this is a dollar. It has a certain value, not because of what, it's not made of silver or gold, it's not intrinsically valuable because of the metal. It has value because of what's on the coin. The coin says one U.S. dollar. Now, if I take this coin and I were to grind off all the engraving from one side of this coin, what would this coin be worth? Would it be worth a dollar? Do you think I could take this coin into a store and buy whatever a dollar would buy? Probably not, because it would be incomplete. And it doesn't matter which side of the coin I ground off, it wouldn't be a dollar anymore. It isn't valuable unless it's intact with both sides properly engraved. Without that, it has no value. That's what forgiveness without reconciliation is like. Or reconciliation without forgiveness, which probably doesn't happen very often. They're incomplete without each other. But together, like that coin, with both sides properly made, it works. It has value, and it's complete. So forgiveness and reconciliation, they're core tenets of God's plan of salvation, and we count on it when we go to God and we repent. We're seeking forgiveness, and we're seeking reconciliation. Again, one without the other doesn't work. Offenses are going to happen. Sin is going to happen. We're still human. We need to be ready and willing to forgive, but then also be invested in the rebuilding of the relationships that are in a broken state. It's for our own growth as we strive to become more Christ-like, but it's also our opportunity to be an example. It's part of our calling. It's part of our duty. It's not easy and it takes work, but this is part of who we need to be, to have forgiveness and to seek reconciliation.